go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening today to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and we'll be doing a lot of that today, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Today, we continue our series of broadcasts called Rebuilding Discipleship in the Catholic Parish, and we're tracing this ancient structure, and we believe that now, more than ever, in our 21st century, the call to become disciples has never been more needed. In Matthew 13, verse 52, Jesus said, "Therefore, every scribe who's become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old." And discipleship is indeed a treasure that we believe God is bringing out, and he's restoring it to our church.
Yes, Leslie. And of course, we remember the Great Commission, which is go therefore and make disciples.
Yeah, that sets the stage for everything and everything we do.
Yeah, amen to that. And so we have been exploring this area in the life and structure of the church parish that needs to be recovered, renewed, rediscovered, and revived. We always are researching the top issues in the church and those areas to be rebuilt, which are also being emphasized by other thought leaders in the Catholic Church. In other words, Leslie and I just don't say, well, what do you think we should talk about? We try to really access the others that are saying the same thing. Now, in this last decade, we Catholics have been hearing this call to discipleship that is very new to most of us, but is very ancient in its origin. Two key people in the last decade that have really brought this to the foreground, Leslie, that we've mentioned is, first of all, Sherry Waddell, who wrote her groundbreaking book, Forming Intentional Disciples, and then also Pope Francis in 2013, when he began to introduce to the church the idea of being a missionary disciple.
Well, we believe there are seven pillars that are foundational to becoming a Catholic disciple, which, Peter, I know that you've kind of refined over the years from your years in ministry. Mm-hmm. And we learned the first pillar is having a deep personal encounter with Jesus. And then last week, we presented the second of the seven pillars, which is to study and learn sacred scripture. Now, Peter, could you just take a few moments to share some of the key takeaways from our last broadcast regarding the scripture?
Yeah, I think that'd be good, Leslie. So to encounter Jesus Christ and then continually encounter him, Catholics should read, study, meditate, and fellowship with others over the sacred scriptures. And although Catholics hear the scriptures every time as they attend Mass, thank the Lord for that, there needs to be a revolution in personal and communal study of God's word also. The well-known monk St. Jerome said this, "Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ." The ignorance Jerome spoke of is not primarily an ignorance of intellect and memorizing even scripture, but rather an ignorance of encounter and relationship and dialogue with the living Christ that comes from the written word of God. We also learned about St. Augustine's encounter last week of Jesus through the scripture. You remember he was in the garden and he was really upset. He was struggling. He was fighting depression just because of his state. And he went into the garden and cried out to God. And then all of a sudden, he heard across the wall children singing, "Tole lege, tole lege," which means pick up and read. It's a childhood song that he had never remembered from his childhood, but immediately he took the scriptures, picked it up, and read Romans 13:13-14. And Leslie, the rest is history. St. Augustine repented and called on the Lord and became St. Augustine as we know today.
Well, last week we also talked about Pope Benedict, and he understood the challenge of making the Bible an intimate part of our daily lives. He issued a personal plea to each of us, saying, so that the Bible may not be simply a word from the past, but a living and timely word. So Peter, talk to us a little bit about his apostolic exhortation.
Yes, in 2010, he put forth this apostolic exhortation that you're referring to, Verbum Domini, which was the word of the Lord. And he emphasized this. He said, in this way, I wish to point out certain fundamental approaches to rediscovery, that's what we're talking about today, of God's word in the life of the church as a wellspring, I like this also, Leslie, of constant renewal. At the same time, he said, I express my hope that the word will ever more fully be at the heart of every ecclesial activity. Everyone. That's amazing.
Well, Pope Benedict was looking for that wellspring of constant renewal in the life of the church that comes as a result of rediscovering God's word. And we have noted that we're starting to see a little bit of that rediscovery happening right now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we've certainly
there are Bible studies cropping up in our parishes, and we see that a lot of people are listening to Father Mike Schmidt's broadcast, The Bible in a Year. In fact, one indication that this is happening for several weeks in 2021 and 2022, the Bible in a Year podcast became the most downloaded podcast on Apple's platform. So for our listeners who have not joined into this Bible in a Year program with Father Mike Schmidt, we encourage you to do so. It's pretty flexible. You can start at any time, and if you need to take time off, it's flexible. You can log on whenever you have the time to do it. So it's been very flexible.
Amen. Now, as you mentioned, Leslie, Pope Benedict in this apostolic exhortation came out with three major points for us concerning the Word of God. And let's review those. Number one, he said that Christianity is the religion of the Word of God. He said that while the church, we greatly venerate the sacred scriptures, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. He said Christianity is a religion of the Word of God. And we mentioned last week that in John 1, John called the Logos the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And there's a direct connection between Jesus and the Word. And St. Jerome was making that connection when he said ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Well, Pope Benedict went on to say that the saints themselves allowed themselves to be shaped by the Word of God through listening to it, reading it, and meditating it. And as a result, every saint is like a ray of light streaming forth from the Word of God.
Two other points the Pope made. Number two is the church is the home of the word, and he was saying that in every ecclesial part of the church, we need to be proclaiming the word of God. And then thirdly, the Pope said that the church is also to be the word in the world. In other words, the church takes the word and takes it to the world on mission.
Okay, listeners, we're about ready to take a short break now, and when we return, we will discuss the third pillar of Catholic discipleship, develop a prayer life. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are discussing our current series of broadcasts, Rebuilding Discipleship in the Catholic Parish. We believe there are seven pillars that are foundational to becoming a Catholic disciple. The third pillar we are discussing today is a Catholic disciple must develop a life of prayer. Peter, where do we begin with this third so important and in-depth pillar?
So, Leslie, as we've talked about, this topic is one of the most written about and spoken of characteristics of a disciple throughout all of salvation history. Where do we begin today to bring our listeners some key takeaways that will help individuals, families, and parishes to become praying disciples? Well, let's start by answering the questions, why indeed should we pray? And I've put together five whys, Leslie. Number one, the first one, Jesus prayed. The reason we pray is because Jesus prayed. And you can see this throughout the Gospels. And when he came and prayed, he was praying to his Father. And it's interesting, if you look throughout the Old Testament, God is rarely, if ever, addressed as Father. Usually it's Yahweh and Lord. But Jesus introduces this intimacy out of his own relationship with the Father. His communion and relationship with the Father is all throughout his life, not only because of a model, but because that indeed is the relationship that he is expressing out of his divine Godhead.
And he was modeling for us that prayer is a relationship.
Yes, he was. Secondly, why do we pray? Is Jesus not only modeled it, but he taught us to pray. Especially if you look in the Sermon on the Mount, there is constant direction and teaching from Jesus, both how to pray and why we should pray. And in fact, I want to encourage all our listeners, when you take the time to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where we can see Jesus teaching us about the basics of prayer.
Right, and just focus on his instruction around prayer and persistence in prayer.
Amen. Thirdly, the upper room. Think about the upper room for a minute. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples went back and gathered in the upper room. There was 120 in all, and the scripture points out the Blessed Mother was there as well. And the scripture says they prayed.
They were all praying.
Amen. And this shows us implicitly that prayer invokes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in the context of prayer. So we pray in order to open our lives to the Holy Spirit. That's the third reason we pray. Fourthly, let's go to St. Paul, who was a great hero of the faith and of prayer. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is an amazing scripture if you think about it, pray without ceasing. In other words, never stop praying. And that we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. And Paul interestingly said in 1 Corinthians 11, Leslie, he said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So he was imitating Jesus as a one who prayed to the Father, and he's calling us now to imitate both Jesus and also Paul. Fifthly, and we're going to talk about this extensively, the saints, as true disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the ages, exemplify a life of prayer for sure.
Well, Peter, these five reasons why we should pray are pretty convincing evidence that prayer should be a key essential component of becoming a Catholic disciple. In fact, the Catechism of the Catholic Church dedicates one of its four major sections to the topic of prayer.
That's right.
And I think that would be a great radio broadcast in and of itself, just to survey the content of this section of the Catechism. But Peter, what introduces the place of prayer in part four of the Catechism?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you open up the Catechism and go to part four, it starts like this, Leslie. It says, the Church professes this mystery of the Apostles' Creed. That was part one. And celebrates it in the sacramental liturgy. That's part two of the Catechism. So that the life of the faithful may be conformed to Christ in the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father. That's part three.
And then what's part four?
Then the Catechism says this. This mystery then requires that the faithful believe in it and that they celebrate it and that they live from it in a vital and personal relationship with the living and true God. This relationship is prayer. That's what the Catechism says right there. Throughout this large part of the Catechism, part four, there are numerous footnotes, Leslie, filled with sacred scripture and quotes from the saints all about prayer. And as we've said, Catholic saints are certainly examples of Catholics that became disciples. They also can help us answer the question, why pray? And I think we should look at some powerful quotes concerning prayer.
Well, let's start with St. Augustine.
Yeah, talking about St. Augustine earlier, St. Augustine said this, "Whether we realize it or not, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst for ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for him." Mother Teresa used that phrase a lot about the thirst of God for souls. St. Augustine said that way back in the 400s. He also said, "Pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you." That's a great phrase also about prayer.
Well, also, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she said, "What is prayer?" She asked, "What is prayer?" And she said, "For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It is a simple look toward heaven. It is a cry of recognition and of love, embracing both trial and joy." So I really like that picture that when we pray, we're looking to heaven.
Yes.
We're bringing both our trials and our joys to the Lord.
Yes. Next, a favorite saint of ours, Leslie, St. Teresa of Calcutta, or Mother Teresa. And she emphasizes the importance of silence connected with prayer. She said, "God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer." Very important point. And then she goes on to say, "We need to find God, and God cannot be found in noise and restlessness." Sounds like what we have to fight in our culture today. God is the friend of silence. That's interesting and powerful. See how nature, trees, flowers, and grass grow in silence. The stars, the moon, the sun, how they move in silence. The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. That's really beautiful.
Well, also, she said that prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. I really like that, too.
Yes.
Prayer enlarges our heart.
Well, that's good.
Well, lastly, let's talk about St. Teresa of Avila. She said vocal prayer must be accompanied by reflection. So she combined those two things, Peter.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
A prayer in which a person is not aware of whom he is speaking to, what he is asking, who it is who is asking, and of whom, I don't call prayer, however much the lips may move.
Yeah, so stay away from vain repetition.
Right.
Like Jesus was telling us in the Sermon on the Mount.
Right. Take time to reflect.
And the final saint, Leslie, is St. John Vianney. And I want to share with him because you have even said this to me lately. He said, "Never forget that is it at the beginning of each day that God has the necessary grace for the day ready for us. He knows exactly what opportunities we shall have to sin, and he'll give us everything we need to ask him then. This is why the devil does all he can to prevent us from saying our morning prayers and to make us say them badly." So I would say on this, Leslie, good. Peter, not so much. But you're trying to encourage me to change and get better.
Well, he also said that prayer is the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges itself. So I think about that. It's kind of like prayer is your morning shower.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take another break now. And when we return, we will continue to discuss how becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is directly related to this third pillar, develop a life of prayer. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
With all the things going on in the world right now, it's nice to have hope.
When I'm having a really tough day, it really helps me get through.
It's just like their program was just meant for you.
Catholic Radio Indy.
It's the only radio station I listen to.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are discussing the call to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we've learned the first pillar to becoming a disciple of the Lord is a deep personal encounter with him. And that encounter must lead us to conversion. Our second pillar of Catholic discipleship is a commitment to study and learn sacred scripture. And then today, we just introduced the third pillar of Catholic discipleship, develop a life of prayer. In our last segment, we learned from the saints whose lives are a model of discipleship for us. We heard that prayer is an encounter with Jesus and demonstrates our dependence on God above all. Prayer directs our hearts towards heaven in times of joy and trials. Prayer enlarges our heart and is where God speaks to us in the silence of our heart. Prayer should be accompanied by reflection, and prayer is a bath of love where we find the necessary grace for each day. So, Peter, let's share some of what you and I've learned in our own journey to develop a life of prayer.
Yes, Leslie, we've referred to the Catechism, and there's various forms of prayer presented in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Prayer of blessing and adoration, prayer of contrition and repentance, prayers of thanksgiving, and lastly, prayers of petition or intercession. Now, over the years, you and I have adapted a wonderful model that helps us pray, and it's called the ACTS method of prayer that incorporates all these forms. A is for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. And supplication really has two parts to it. It's under supplication, we have intercession. That's when we pray for someone else's needs. And petition is when we pray for our own needs, which God wants us really to. There's nothing wrong with praying for your own needs, in other words.
Well, I learned this model of prayer in my early walk as a young Christian and a really striving to be a disciple of the Lord, and it really helped me, Peter. So talk us through how each of these forms of prayer work. I mean, how do they work?
So let's start with A, adoration. Adoration is us giving ourselves totally to the Lord in worship and in praise. And it's when we start out, we tell the Lord that we belong to Him and that we love Him and we worship Him and He's worthy of our worship, and just spending time bowing before Him in our hearts and in our words. Then secondly, Leslie, confession can be twofold. It can be confessing the scripture and confessing what we believe, but you and I over the years have used it to confess our sins.
Right, contrition, confession.
Right,
yes.
James tells us to confess our sins to one another. That's both in the confessional, but also I think there's a validity to the one another part of that. And so it's confessing our sins, saying, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I've fallen, either venial or sometimes maybe a mortal sin, and I ask you to forgive me. And if it's a mortal sin, of course, we want to find ourselves in going to the confessional as soon as possible.
Right, and I like to just pray, Lord, search me and try my heart and see if there be any way of pain in me, and give the Lord a chance to show me areas where I've fallen short.
Yeah, that's a great verse in Psalm 139 that you're reminding us of. The third part of ACTS is the T that shares thanksgiving. And it's so valuable when we're praying to the Lord is to stop and count our blessings, if you will, and to go through, Lord, thank you for my health. Thank you for my strength. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. And just go through a litany of thanksgivings really builds us up. And I believe the Lord is pleased. Of course, we know Jesus said when the one that was healed of leper came back, he said, where's the rest of them? Didn't I heal 9 more? So thanksgiving is real critical, I believe, to the Lord. And then finally, supplication, as I've mentioned, the Lord wants us to depend on Him for things. He wants us to pray. Intercession, remember, is for others, and petition is for ourselves. And one of the things that you and I have done over the years, Leslie, is we've created prayer lists so that we can remember some of those intercessions, especially people that are really struggling, hurting, and many people that are sick out there.
Well, clearly, Peter, the ACTS model is something that can be used in your personal prayer time, but we also believe it can be used in your couple, your prayer time as a couple, a married couple, right?
Yes, and as I mentioned, we have used this for years, and it's really helped us on the prayer journey. You know, it says in 1 Peter 3:7 that couples should keep their relationship in unity, and it's interesting, Peter tells us why, so that our prayers will not be hindered. So Peter's telling us that husbands and wives stay unified because that helps your prayer life. That helps God answer your prayers, and your prayers won't be hindered if you walk in unity. I remember years ago when I was an evangelical minister, and a man came to me. He'd been married 30 years, and he said, Peter, somehow we got on the importance of praying and praying as a couple. He said, my wife and I don't pray together. And I said, well, I don't think it's too late to start. And he kind of wondered, maybe it was, maybe after 30 years of that habit not being there, it wouldn't happen. And I encouraged him, well, just start praying together over your meals, and I believe it'll grow from there. I forgot about the conversation. And 6 months later, I was with him again in my office, and he said, Peter, I want you to know a little miracle has happened. My wife and I are now praying together on a regular basis. And he was so excited that after 30 years, they could be really began to find a unity and a fellowship through prayer.
Well, I know it was also very important for you to introduce this concept to the young couples that you were leading through Marriage Prep mm-hmm. in our parish. Mm-hmm. And I think that you would always challenge them to start praying together now as engaged couples.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, well, as St. John Vianney said, starting the morning with a quiet time has always been very important discipline for me. And I recently started using the Magnificat. And in the Magnificat, there in the daily devotions, it always includes the Psalms to meditate upon. But Peter, you also believe the Psalms are a great way to learn to pray and talk to God.
Yeah, Psalms really teach us how to pray to the Lord. In fact, our great St. Ambrose, who really was instrumental in bringing St. Augustine to the faith, called the Psalms God's gymnasium. And he said, that's where we really exercise our spiritual life. We can cry out to God. We can even complain to God, and sometimes even express our anger to God in those Psalms. And that's why Ambrose said, it's like a gymnasium. It works us out.
Well, Peter, I think it's about time for us to pray for our listeners. So if you could lead us in a prayer for our listeners, I think that would be a wonderful way to close this segment.
Yeah, I agree. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we do indeed pray to you today, and we ask that you would put in us the ability, a desire, and the opportunity to seek you more deeply through prayer. Lord, we believe that prayer is just such a key to our life individually, family-wise, corporately, and in our parishes. Please, O Lord, give us the grace to seek you in ways of prayer like we see among the saints that we've talked about today. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us again today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you would like to download our previous broadcasts, especially on this series, please just go to Catholic Radio Indy and make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.